This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen, amen, and good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm your host, Karen Hubbard, and I am here with my co-host, Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our brother, Sean O'Hay, is back again. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Are you awake?
I'm awake.
Okay, good. I know that you have you have some late nights sometimes where you're up all night.
up all night, sleep all day.
Yeah, because you work nights. That's why you're up all night. Probably wound up when you get home from work. Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah. So, anyway, welcome to Hidden Places. And we're just so happy to have you here today joining us. We have a special guest in the studio. And I'm going to introduce her in a second. But I wanted to read this Psalm 145, verse 1 through 7. And this, I think this has to do with our guest that we have this morning. And I'm reading out of the Message. And this is David's praise. He says, I lift you high in praise, my God, O my King, and I'll bless your name into eternity. I'll bless you every day and keep it up from now to eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells the stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. The fame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. And I just wanted to stop there. So in particular, verse 4, generation after generation stands in awe of your work. And all these generations since the beginning of time that, you know, God has had his people declaring his name, declaring his works. And it's important to continue to declare the works of the Lord to each coming generation. And so with that, I want to introduce Olivia O'Hay. Good morning, Olivia.
Good morning.
And Olivia is Sean's daughter. And I have not seen you since you were, I think you were 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we used to meet at your house. Mm-hmm. And so you've grown up quite a bit. So I just want to say that Olivia, she's a recent college graduate from Florida State University. She grew up in church, but she started radically following Jesus in college. And her heart is to make disciples that make disciples and watch the gospel reclaim a lost generation. She's pursuing residency at Downtown Community Church in Tallahassee, where college students make up 70% of the congregation. And the church is located in the city, home to the poorest zip code in the state. And over the past 4 years, she has witnessed a powerful movement of revival. and she's excited to continue playing a part in building the capital C church. Amen. Amen, Olivia. So welcome, and just looking forward to hearing your perspective on life.
Yeah.
From a young, I don't have any young people in my life. I mean, Annette's daughter, but I don't see her that often. But, you know, for those of us that are not around young people, you know, fill us in on, you know, how you're getting along these days. We see, I look at social media a lot, and it tends to be very negative, you know, with the younger people and, you know, people that are getting in trouble and stuff, but that's not the case in your life.
No. Yeah. Thanks for the introduction. I went to college and I knew, and I always had that, like, I was raised Christian, got baptized when I was 7, but it didn't really click for me until I was a sophomore in college that I was like, I like needed his, like, I need to be saved. And so, like, you, like, there was a lot of head knowledge, but it wasn't until that realization that I was like, oh. And so once I realized that, once I took a philosophy class and tried to figure out what the meaning of life is, and was just so like bogged down by people that would say there was no meaning. And I was like, okay, well, if there's no meaning, then like, what are we doing? And like, you're okay with that. And so once I realized that, I was like, my life has to change. Like, I can't just know what I know now and just keep doing what I was doing. And so I went to this church, Downtown Community Church, and was just witnessing like something that I've never seen before, because it was like I went to like several churches as a kid, but in this church most people were young, and that was new to me. But also everyone was so like welcoming, and like it was just very like just the heart of Jesus was so clear, and everything that we do and how it's like not about us. And that was just cool. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, our heart is to make disciples that make disciples. And so, like, with community groups that we would, you know, meet weekly and all of that, that was where I realized, like, church is not just rows. Like, life change doesn't happen when you're just going to church and you just sit and you leave. That's not church. And so through, like, you know, just getting to know people, what church is supposed to be, and just true, like, godly fellowship, like my life changed, and I like actually became a follower of Jesus, because I was, you know, I believed in God, and then I went through a phase of like, I don't know, like, is God real? You know, like having those questions of, I don't know, I've just been believing this my whole life and I don't know why. But then he got really real for me, and then I no longer just viewed him as my savior but my Lord. And so just letting him like follow, well, letting me follow him, and just guide me through every decision, everything, my whole day, and just surrendering more every single day. But yeah, I mean, the past 4 years have been epic. But yeah, you're right. Like, social media, there's a lot of death. And that's true about the city of Tallahassee. Like, it's, there's so much poverty and there's so much sin, everywhere in this whole world, but especially in Tallahassee, which is home to, one of the, you know, biggest party schools in all of America, where I went. And so you'd see a lot of that, and, you know, you can look at that and be discouraged, but then there would be nights where you see people getting baptized in Westcott Fountain, which is where people get thrown in when they turn 21. And so you would see nights where people are extremely incapacitated in that fountain, and then you see nights where they're getting baptized, and so that's just like cool. And it's just like there's more and more every year, more people, you know, growing the kingdom. So yeah.
So do you think that your upbringing helped you to draw near to the Lord? Because, you know, you hear the opposite of the kids that are going into college, like, you know, grow up in Christian homes, and then they get to college and they just completely turn the other way and start heading in a different direction, you know, that. Do you feel like you had a hunger for the Lord, and so that's what kept drawing you to him, and you were able to resist
Yeah.
turning away?
Yeah, I mean, I knew that I wanted to find a church my freshman year. That was, like, really important for me. And I think that has to do with my upbringing always going and just having community. But I did, you know, go through a phase of, like, not knowing what I believed. And I think, yeah, being raised Christian, like, helped me connect a lot of dots. And, like, now I look back and I'm like, oh, God was always there. But, of course, when you're wrestling with doubt and, like, just not knowing what you believe and what's true, that's hard. And so you don't realize, like, how God was working until you have perspective that only He gives. And so I'm, like, really grateful for my upbringing because I think, you know, everyone has a different story. But I think it's cool that He's been a part of my adolescence so huge. And now it's just more real for me. And it's like, I just get it more, you know?
Yeah. And you're not living off your mom and dad's salvation.
Right.
You know, you have your own relationship with Jesus. So you're saying here that, well, your church or the ministry you belong to said 59% of young Christians disconnect from the church permanently. Or for an extended period of time after age 15. Mm-hmm. So do you have people that you know, friends that you know in college that have turned away and, you know, are going the other way?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of, like, I mean, there's, like, people want to rebel. That's, like, common. And that was kind of true for me. I mean, I was, like, seeking out Christianity, but it was, like, my parents' beliefs that I had. It wasn't, you know, true my faith.
Right.
And so I know a lot of people that, like, whether it's their parents' political views or their parents' religion, and they just want to do the opposite because, you know, you're 19 and you're just ready to be on your own and just do different things than your parents did. But yeah, what's cool is seeing college kids, like, they are the most hungry than, you know, I've seen growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's true, like, hunger. Yeah.
And I think, you know, you guys growing up with social media, because you've been exposed to social media your whole life, have you? You know, so that, I think that forms a lot of people's worldview, young people's worldview.
Sure.
Because we didn't have that growing up. We didn't even have cell phones growing up. So our worldview was determined by who we were near.
Right.
You know, whereas now, anyone with a cell phone, you know, young people especially, you can pick up anything there.
Yeah. It's clear that, like, young people that aren't following Jesus, I think it's obvious to me that they are insecure in their identity because it's not in Christ, but they are trying so desperately to find an identity. And so they're constantly redefining who they are, whether that's their sexuality or their, you know, their gender or what they do, like, you know, hobbies. But that's been a challenge of seeing that.
Then how about witnessing to your fellow classmates? And
yeah, I think, well, that's what's so cool about, like, college is it's such a transformative, like, 4 years for anybody, because it's when they start taking classes where they're being taught how to critically think. And so there's a lot of kids that are wrestling with, like, yeah, I don't know what I believe. And there is a lot that were raised Christian but never really got it. And so, yeah. And then there's people that, you know, weren't. And they're like, what do you believe? And, you know, that's a journey. We're not called to make converts, but disciples. And so I think, you know, sharing the gospel, sometimes they don't get it right away, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, through just the way that I live my life and just showing that, and that, you know, it's not me, that, like, the reason why I do what I do, the reason why I have joy. We had a shooting 2 weeks before I graduated in April, and that was really hard because I see, I mean, none of these kids have hope. They don't have, like, they don't, you see death and they're scared for their lives. And so I'm sitting in this classroom, we're on lockdown, and I look around and all these kids are, they're sobbing and they're just, like, they're a wreck. And I'm like, I get it. Like, they don't know what happens after they die. But I'm also like, well, how do you go about your day when you're not in that situation and you're okay? And so seeing that was really hard because obviously I know why they're sobbing.
Right. And, yeah. And you're there to provide comfort.
Yeah.
If you can, you know, during that time. Well, you know, let me interject in here that I think it was a week or two prior to that, mm-hmm. we were in a meeting, prayer meeting, and your dad said, you know, I feel like we need to pray for the daughters. So we just began to pray for mm-hmm. daughters, and we prayed for Nanette's daughter and prayed for you and your sister and Deanne's daughter. And, you know, we didn't know why, but we just began to intercede and really had a burden to pray. And then so that when that shooting happened a couple of weeks later, we were like, wow, you know, so thank God for his protection over you and, you know, everybody else at the school there. It's I know. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah, that's a scary thing. So here said that only 18% of people aged 22 to 30 attend church every week. Hmm.
Yeah.
So do you think, so you're, talk a little bit about your church there. So yeah. It's Downtown Community Church.
Yeah. So my church is mostly college students, and then of course we have all generations. But the Lord really put that age group on my heart this past year of like just post-grad people and people that are young professionals. And so we have a lot of that. But I think it's obvious why only 18% of people attend church in that age group, because it's such a hard, like, part of life. And that's like, you know, you're leaving college, you're figuring out, you know, the first real adult part of your life. It's also when most anxiety disorders are diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the population that needs church. You know, I mean, we all need it. But it's such a period of isolation, and yeah, it's hard. And so this past year, I was working on a young adult social membership group in my entrepreneurship program. And so that's when I got the idea, was just like, yeah, people graduate college and they feel alone. That's like such a huge problem. And so how do we go about that? And so I was working on like an LLC, but then I was like, no, they really just need church. It's not really bigger than that. But yeah, my church is home to, you know, we're located in the south side of Tallahassee, which is like a very marginalized part of town. And when they started the church, they felt like God was saying, you know, reach the poor. And then a lot of young people showed up and they were a little confused. But we do a lot of, I mean, we reach those community, like we're in the heart of poverty. And it's, you know, it's a big part of our ministry, but, we do like monthly, we partner with all of the local nonprofits. And so basically they need help doing, I mean, they're already doing a lot of good work, and so our church just partners with that, the local communities. But our heart, or our lifeline in the church, like the biggest part is the community groups that meet weekly, because we believe that life change happens in circles instead of rows, and that is actually true. Like, that's something we like to say, like, community is our middle name, and it literally is. And so that's what really taught me, like, church is not, it's not just like hearing a sermon, hearing some good worship music. Like, it's more than that. It's like you should be able to build a church anywhere. You know, it's not a building. But the amount of college students that attend our church is like the most encouraging thing that I've seen, because they really like, they run that church. I mean, obviously we have like older people, but they're the ones that are doing like so much work in FSU, which is like, you know, a huge, there's so much there's so much party. There's so much, like, you know, death, I guess. And so actually seeing disciples made where people would look at them and say, there's no way that they would ever know Jesus. And it's just, like, that constant truth that, like, it's obvious, like, anyone, we're all, you know, sinful. And so, like, there's no reason to think that, you know, just because this person goes to a club every single night, that they wouldn't find Jesus. That's, like, that's where we should go. That's where mm-hmm. we need church. You know what yeah. I mean? So.
Yes, I agree with that. But I like the concept or the juxtaposition of the students coming to the church, but then turning that around and going out into the community. You know, so they're not just, it's not focused on self.
Right.
I mean, you know, focused on being Jesus to mm-hmm. Those that are less fortunate. And it's, that's a great combination right there. I had no idea that Tallahassee was the poorest city in the state. I never knew that.
Yeah, 32304.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, praise God. So now you are also a worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
So what is, so you're a worship leader, now you're a worship leader at the church itself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I do that. And residency is cool because it's just a lot of, like, learning and doing and just equipping. There's, like, going to be six of us. It's the first year they're doing a residency program, which is awesome. But right now I lead worship, and I did a lot of worship for the youth program,
mm-hmm.
Which is middle school, high school, and then college nights we would do monthly, and then of course Sunday services. And what I've learned is that, I mean, it's obvious that worship is not just musical. But is that, like, young people is where things start and where things, like fire. Mm-hmm. And so, like, leading worship at youth and at college nights for me is so, like, eye-opening and just, like, so, like, that's, like, the coolest thing. And not that Sunday mornings aren't great. They are. And that has to be good for the rest of it to be good. But, youth and college nights have, for me, were the most, like, whoa, just, like, watching God move. Because for me, like, I led worship when I was in middle school too, and so it was kind of like a full circle moment of, like, now I get to do it and my faith is so much stronger, and it's like God is actually at the center. And so worship has been, like, so new and so different than it was when I was a kid. I mean, that's obviously, like, you grow, but, like, just leading people to worship the best way they know how, and how it's not singing a song, it's not Christian karaoke, like, it's not, you don't even need music, but it's cool to, like, walk in the gifts that God has given you. And so yeah, for me, it's like, that's how I really see God move, and obviously he moves in many ways, but through just watching people, like, have revelations. And, like, we had a youth weekend in March, and three middle school girls got saved one night, the last night, and it was just like, yeah, like, God is good. And just, like, worshiping is not feeling either. And so it's like, I think that happens a lot, where people look around and, okay, well, no one's jumping around and no one's crying, so, like, God's not moving, but we're just praising. Like, we don't need heavy emotions to praise God. That's not the heart behind why we worship. So, yeah, doing that, continuing to grow in leading worship, but also I'm a new young adult, and so I'm passionate about the people that are post-grad at our church, because it's so college. It's hard to be a young adult sometimes at our church, because they're like,
it's hard to be an old adult sometimes.
I bet. But they're like, you know, we have all these college nights, we have these college groups, we have so much, like, work being done on this campus, what about us? You know, we graduated a couple years ago, whatever the case is. You know, we don't need events. Like, we don't need another thing to go to. Well, we're all so busy, yet we all want another event to go to. We need more Bible studies, more worship nights. It's like, now we're the church. And so my role is just to be the church. That's kind of how I've seen it, is like, I'm just going to be a young adult and just see what God does. Mm-hmm. And I'm hype.
Yeah, because some people think you need to go from event to event. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that about the emotions, because, again, on social media, you know, I'm reading all these people that are contrary to modern worship, quote, unquote. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's a real thing where some people in the church are, they don't like the worship music. They think it's shallow and it doesn't, you know, it's all hype and emotion. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of that kind of irks me a little bit. But you had it right, because you said it's not about the feelings, but it to me, the worship is the avenue in which to engage with the Lord. And a lot of the worship music is really actually prayer. You know, it's a crying out to the Lord. And, you know, the words may be different, but, you know, I see it, a lot of the music is as prayer and really prophecy as well.
Right.
You know, because we're going to listen to this song coming up from Passion, just the recent conference. And I think that this is going to be a perfect example of the what's happening. It's a wind of your spirit, and again, this is from the Passion Conference that took place a few months ago. But it's prayer, but it's also prophesying as well. And I think the young people they're looking for something that's real, and to me, the worship is a way to engage with other people and with the Lord. And even if it's a repetitive thing, sometimes, because I know when I was away from the Lord, when I came back to the Lord, I had to keep hearing something over and over again, you know, to really convince me, not really convince me, but to get me to a place where I could let go and worship the Lord on my own. You know, it was like the worship music is just an avenue to get you to the Lord. So let's listen to this song, and we will be back with Olivia and Scene and Nanette right after this.
You want. So desperate for your presence. Hearts are awakened, everything's changed. It's the wind of your spirit, it's the wind of your spirit. Strongholds are breaking, darkness is shaking. It's the wind of your spirit, it's your wind. Like a flood in this place, on the sound of our praise, Jesus, move in the room, overwhelm us. Wind of your spirit, break every chain at the mention of your name. Do what you want to do, overwhelm us. Wind of your spirit, it's a move of your spirit, it's a move of your spirit. Hope is beginning, and try for to live with the wind.
Amen. Again, that was Wind of Your Spirit by Passion. And okay, so we're here with Olivia O'Hay, who is the youngest daughter of Scene, our brother that is here on the program with us. So, Scene, what do you think about what Olivia's doing? I'm sure as a father, you're very happy to see her growing.
Well, I've known her for 22 years, and I have to tell you, you know, I was 40 years old when she was born, and she was the perfect baby. She never cried about having to go to bed or having to go to sleep, and I would just hold her and, you know, put her on my shoulder, and, you know, she would just lay her head down, and she would just say, I would lay her down in the crib, and she would say, "Night, night, thank you." Yeah, and she was the perfect baby. She'd go right to sleep, and she was up early in the morning, and she always had a sense of being regimented for things. Like, I remember one Christmas morning, you know, there was a lot of presents under the tree, and the girls were so happy, but the first thing she said, because of her regimentation, was, "I want my cereal." So she had to eat her cereal before she would open.
Before the presents?
Before the presents.
Yeah. So, that says a lot.
As a parent, you watch your children grow, and it's just so important to know that, you know, when you pray for them, when they're in the womb, you know, because God knew them, you know, in the hidden parts where they were formed and created and made who they were even before the foundations of the world. You know, God says in Isaiah 55, "I watch over my word to quicken it, hasten it, and perform it." Well, the word of God that's quickened, hastened, and performed is about every person that was ever born. And God watches over his word as a seed because his word carries divine intention. And so then our children represent our posterity, which means the next generation, those who are coming after us. And it's quite obvious that God is raising up a generation that is to serve him and to know that worship is really the highest form of human expression, not just a song, not just in what we give or what we do, but what comes from the heart, you know, from a heart of spirit and truth. And, you know, before Olivia was born, like a week before she was born, we knew that, you know, we were going to name her Olivia. And I was listening to a song by a Christian artist who's still with us. His name was Phil Keke, and he wrote a song, I believe it was for his daughter, Olivia, and it just fits so well, you know. And her name, you know, Olivia, comes from Tree of Olivet, which means the anointing of God. But when we look at our posterity, we recognize that they are the seed of the next generation that comes after us. So there's a legacy, you know, not only for what we build with them, but what we build for them by impartation and implication, in the sense that our actions, our decisions, and our contributions impact all future generations. And when you look at the Word of God, there's promise after promise. And Genesis chapter 17 says, he says, I think, believe it's verse 9, "I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you, from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant, that I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you."
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Wow. Olivia, having a great dad. Mm-hmm. A dad that's in the Word, has been in the Word your whole life. Mm. And, you know, he had mentioned that you, as you know, when you're talking to him, you're telling of stuff that you remember him telling you when you were younger. And so he seemed pretty stoked about that.
Yeah.
So it's really a blessing it's a blessing to see you growing up as well. And talking about regimented, so you did you do cross country or just regular running?
Yeah, I did cross country and track. And then this past semester, I coached a high school track team.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool.
Well, praise God that you're doing something. I'm so encouraged because, you know, I just only see the negative side of things on social media with young people that are, you know, don't even know how to put something in the laundry, you know, and here you are,
right.
You know, coaching and being a worship leader. So are you doing something in between your graduation and when you go back? Do you have, what do you have going on that you're involved in now over the summer?
Yeah. So I was working at a camp for the past like 5 weeks. I was leading worship for K through five. And there I was also leading a Bible study for fourth and fifth graders and then also coaching soccer. So it was a really busy camp, but learned a lot and just saw a lot of things that was hard. For example, some of the kids and so we would do like different churches every week. And that was kind of the thing, partnering with the local church, which was really cool. But these fourth and fifth graders could not write. And so I was they're 10 and they don't know how to write. I was coaching and this girl didn't want to play soccer. I was like, that's okay. You can sit with me. And she's just telling me about, just hearing her talk. I was like, whoa, she's 10. And she just, you could already hear, like, I could tell she was chronically on TikTok, like a lot of people are. But it was like just this constant like victim narrative. And not to like say that to put her down, but it was like, that's not coming from you. That's coming from everything you're consuming online. And so that's why it is so important to, you know, spread joy. Like literally these kids are being influenced by people they shouldn't even ever come into contact with.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in a digital world. And so it's, you know, with a touch of a finger, you just are hearing things that is speaking death over you and you're believing it and it's changing your world, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that's a scary thing for the young people. Wow. For any of us. Amazing.
So, wow, 10-year-old not having any writing skills and...
Right. I mean, not all of them, but some of them could not write. Like, I had them fill out like it's called a spiritual assessment form to see, you know, do you guys know God? Have you received eternal life? Whatever. So they're filling that out. And I see, I'm like, you know, they hand them back to me. And one kid, it was just scribble. Like, it wasn't, they could not write a word. And so I was like, whoa. And I think COVID is a lot to blame that. So there's a lot of like online school and, I don't think much was learning.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, whoa, eye-opening for sure.
So were you able to have those one-to-one moments with them or was it always in a group-like setting? I know you said that one of the young girls didn't want to play soccer.
Right.
So you had that one-to-one experience. Did you have any more one-to-one where you can kind of, you know, bring them Jesus and have those talks and...
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was mostly in group settings. We like have like a lot of safety measures too. Like you're not supposed to be with kids one-on-one. But you know, if there's people around, that's okay, obviously. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of churches. So it was different at every church, you know, you're in a different area, but, like one church, this one girl, you know, she's going into sixth grade and I'm like, she's following Jesus. And that was just so like encouraging. And I really connected with the kids that were, and I was like, dang, I really need to reach the kids that don't know Jesus yet, you know? And that was like kind of my like battle that I was in of like, but it was hard to get them to listen. It was, I mean, classroom management skills are not just, you don't just have them. Like, you got to learn that. So there's a lot of like, you know, I could get them to be quiet or, you know, to listen, but they have to get it. And so,
yeah,
I mean, you plant seeds, that's kids ministry. And I have so much respect for those in it, because it's not my gifting.
Right.
But it's hard work, and you're just planting seeds, and getting to see fruit born from it is like such a privilege. And whereas like middle school and high school, like kids are kids, like they don't.
Yeah.
But middle school and high school is so much like easier, in my opinion, not easier, but just more fulfilling to me, because they get it. Like they, that's when they're like figuring things out.
I know. And there's such a false narrative and this lie that the elementary kids are like the hardest and they're unreachable. I mean, like just their behaviors, everything is just, and I see an opportunity there.
Yeah.
I see they're the most, it looks like that, but they're the most gentle and vulnerable to really reach, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To really grab a hold of. And so I encourage people out there, like get involved with that age, you know, group, that age demographic, and you know, just learn how to listen well, you know, learn not to get moved by what comes out of their mouth. you know, because you're going to hear everything out of their mouths just because what they are exposed to. And like you said, like chronic TikTokers, you know, chronic Instagram, you know, they're just that social media. They live in the screen. Mm-hmm. They're not really living real life. They're living a screen life.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think they're the most, they're the people group that we really need to go out there, and that's the mission field.
Right. And I mean, you should be able to like share the gospel with anyone. And so if you can't, you know, break your sermon down or whatever you're doing to like a 9-year old's level, then how are you doing that for 25-year-olds? How are you doing that for, like, you got to break things down so people get it.
And most of the time is love, isn't it? Like, right? I mean, I don't know. I had one kid, and I know it's probably, it's, you got to be careful. Mm-hmm. But I had one kid come and didn't know me, but just immediately just came and hugged me while I was waiting for my daughter. She's part of FCA and stuff. And I was like, who is this kid? And they were like, you're Ariel's mom, you know, and just hugged me. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I could feel like the deficit. Like she just needed, a hug or love. And I think Ariel was just sharing about her mommy, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess she didn't have that same relationship with her. So she kind of just grabbed me, like, you know. And, wow, I was just like, man, sometimes that's all they need. It's just like, oh, you're so special. You know, see you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and not me looking at Instagram videos of the kids at Disney World dressed up in their costumes like, you know, the different characters. And then here comes the Disney characters on the parade. Uh-huh. And the kids just run up to them and hug them. Oh, my gosh. Those have been popping up on my Instagram. So, you know, I've been.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you can feel those kids.
Yeah.
You know, because they're identifying.
Exactly.
With a character.
Right.
And they just automatically put their arms up to go and get a hug, you know, from Cinderella or Snow White. It's just, it's really amazing. And, you know, so we want the kids to see Jesus, because they can see right through people.
Right.
You know that.
Oh, yeah.
They can
honest.
See. And I bet that one, they thought of your daughter, Nanette, and then they saw your daughter in you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that trusting heart. But you know what? I need to get these couple of announcements in. Mm-hmm. So this would be like less than 5 minutes. We'll be right back.
Know what? what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio. News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
All right, we are back, and again, we're here with, well, Nanette, of course, co-host Nanette, who I pronounced your name correctly today.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? I've been practicing.
How many years now, Karen?
Just a couple. And we're here with our brother Scene and Olivia, which is Scene's daughter. Mm-hmm. So, Olivia, what really is your heart for ministry? You said you want to make disciples that make disciples.
Yeah.
And how do you see yourself doing that other than, what you know, how you're currently doing it through coaching? Just relationship? Do you think relationship with people is?
Well, I think, like, just the idea of church in general, of, like, you don't need, there's just so many people that go to church and they don't actually, they're not reached. Like, they're just going out of routine because they're supposed to go and they feel like that's what's making them a Christian. And then even like I used to do street evangelism weekly with a team. And that kind of opened my eyes to the fact that because I was asked by my pastor, like, well, are you making time in your life to disciple someone? Let's say that someone does say, yeah, I want to accept Christ. So are you going to connect them to a church, or are you going to, like, and it's like, that's the hope and that's like what you should do. But I think there's a lot of, like, we're evangelizing, but we're not discipling. And there's no, like, that's not what we're supposed to do. And so my heart is to reach people who, I love talking to Christians that are not, you know, they don't have assurance in their faith. They don't know for certain that they're going to heaven. Which is like, okay, well, if you believe, if you're following Jesus, like, what's keeping you from that? And so kind of building people up, building the church up, because I think that's what we need right now is, like, unity. And so we see a lot of division in our world, but also division in the church. And so, yeah, just using the gifts that God has given me and seeing and, you know, kind of helping other people realize their gifts and their role in the church and in life. And because at the end of the day, like, nothing matters except, you know, what Jesus did. And so if what we're doing is not building his kingdom, then it doesn't matter. And so my heart is just to keep building that and seeing that grow and just being obedient to the call that God has given me. And so, yeah. Definitely, like, worship is such a cool thing because it's not just singing or playing an instrument, but actually, like, creating space for people to just see God and to just go to him and go back to him and just see what he does.
Amen. And didn't the Levites do that in the Old Testament? You know, they were there to lead the people in the worship, to instruct them and to give them the place, mm-hmm. you know, in worship. And yeah, I think it's awesome what you're doing. And obviously you got your mom's singing voice mm-hmm. passed on through your mom. Both you and Osana have those lovely voices. Mm-hmm. And but do you play instruments?
Yes. I'm, you know, trying to get better. But I play guitar. And
oh, gee. I wonder where you got that from.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. My dad, I've had 3 guitars, and I would never ask. Dad would just be like, here's another guitar. Here's another. I was like, I already have 2. I don't need a 3rd. But so grateful for his passing down of the love of that instrument.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I came home from work one time, and, you know, we called her the baby at one time because she was the baby. And I walked in the front door, and I had this really expensive guitar, and it was on the floor, and she was just standing on the guitar. But it was like the cutest little picture you could ever imagine. She's standing on my guitar, so, you know, she learned how to stand on a guitar.
Amen.
I just want to tell you, 1 Timothy 4:12 says, our children are examples to others in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Mm-hmm. And that's what sets them apart, to have this like a special feature for this type of prophetic evangelism that's really unique in the scope of its purpose. So it does bring people, let's say the non-seeking believers, they're believers, but, you know, they don't have direction, and they don't have, you know, it all together as far as their identity. But it looks like God is raising up a generation, as I just said to Nanette. It's like our daughters have the same spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's really to call people back, you know, into God, back to God for a real purpose, for a holy purpose. The anointing is real, and the anointing is working not only in our children, but from generation to generation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we get maybe about 4 or 5 minutes left. Now, Olivia, so what are you going to be doing in the fall? Going to... what is this called?
It's a residency.
Residency. Mm-hmm. At the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how does that, how is it working? Is it 1 year, 2 years?
Yeah, it's a 1-year program. And the heart is so that it's just a huge, you know, learning experience of like figuring out what's next. All of us know that we're called to full-time vocational ministry, and so we're like just growing in each of our different gifts. Mm-hmm. And so there will be a lot of like mentorship, obviously, and learning like theology and all of that, as well as actually doing what we're meant to do. And so I was talking to my pastor last week about just the heart behind it and like why they wanted to do it. And it's like there's so many people that come out of our church and they don't know how, but they know they need to do something in ministry. And they, you know, so that whether that's like going to seminary or Bible school or whatever you're doing, but they wanted to create a space for people to learn how to even start a church. And so after this program, let's say 15 years down the road, we feel called to start a church in the same city or a different city or whatever it is. Like this is, they're giving us tools to do that. We're raising money for our salary. And so there's that aspect of like, you want to start a church? Well, you gotta start the church. And so, whether I'm working part-time somewhere else, that's taking time away from what we're doing. And so we're actually like relying on the church, the capital C church, to fund this movement. And that's been like such a cool part of it. It's like intentional, like that we're not, you know, relying on our church to just pay us outright, mm-hmm. but actually like raising the funds has been like a huge like actually act of faith of trusting God, that he would provide this team of people. And we each have our own of like, these are the people that are not only like maybe giving money, but they're also like praying for you, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, they're growing the ministry. They're connecting you to other people. So just being able to like talk to people and hear what God's doing in their life too. Like I talked to one of my old bosses that I worked at a corporate job, and you know, she's on my team and she is just telling me what God's doing in her life, and she's doing ministry in the corporate entity that we work at, or that I used to work at, and that's just so cool. So
amen. So how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to help you out,
mm-hmm.
You know, financially or prayer support?
Yeah, definitely. My email is olivia@dcctally.com. And if you go to Olivia, or if you go to reliant.org/olivia.ohay, that's the link to my fund. So there's more info about that, and a link to give.
Amen. Well, we're just about out of time, so just want to thank you so much for coming today. Mm-hmm. The Lord really worked that out, because it was totally unplanned, but just, you know, how your dad mentioned it, and it was like, oh, we need to get her on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great having you here, and, you know, we hope to have you back in the future and hear about other great things that are happening in your life.
Cool, yeah.
So just get, like, 30 seconds, Nanette.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate that it's important to, you know, plant those seeds for the next generation. So I just encourage everyone to move into that and fund these missionaries. She's considered a missionary right mm-hmm. now in our very own land.
Yeah.
And that's so necessary. It's so, so needed. So I encourage, you know, whether it be $1, $5, God brings the increase.
Amen. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth more treasures out of